Why don't we just kind of catch up and see kind of where we are? Give me some feedback. I have a little bit of an agenda that I'd like to cover with you all, but give me an update on how you think things are going with you, both individually and as a team, as you start to, you know, really implement some of the strategies we've been talking about here over the past, you know, several months. So, you know, let's start with you, Lenny.
Yeah, I think individually, you know, my book is going well. You know, my more concierge practice is, you know, I would say thriving. So that's a good thing, providing the right. Team-wise, I think, you know, implementing the Supernova leads and the strategies has gone very well. I think with the pandemic, one of the harder parts is newer advisors. We've seen either some really excel and others really fall off, and maybe really just more time management on our side, whether we say, hey, are people worth saving, even though we give them expectations, or are they not worth saving? And let's double down on, you know, the people that we know are going to do well. So that would be like my one and only question.
Okay. So I'm going to kind of maybe address that one when we come back to it. Okay. Michael, how about you?
No, I think Lenny did a pretty good job explaining it. I mean, we definitely have had, you know, the best word is haves and have-nots. You know, we don't have anybody really in the middle. They're either the people that have performed during the pandemic or the people that have kind of fallen by the wayside and really struggled temporarily. From a personal standpoint, where, you know, I'm doing good. I think the neat part of this conversation has been focused on more asset gathering this year. Right. And in addition to the Supernova, I think the mindset's changed a little bit. And, you know, when you put your, you know, again, wherever you put your focus, that's where obviously the production tends to fall. It's amazing how that happens.
Right.
So a lot of assets under management, our team's gotten or brought in this year has gone up substantially from any other year. So that's been a big plus this year.
Very good. Very good. Okay, Mario, how about you?
Yep, the advisory business is booming. So that's been great. You know, 2020, I doubled my advisory book, which was good.
Wow.
And, you know, in the first quarter, I think we did like another 2 million. So it's pretty good.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So let me make a couple of comments. This relates to leadership and coaching. You know, as leaders, we have to inspect what we expect. Okay. And that means that now you have to supernova your people. Now you know how to supernova your clients, which is 12-4-2. Okay. Now you have to supernova your people, which means you're getting them on a regular call schedule. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be 20 minutes, but it should be done once a week and then once a month. Okay. After you think you got them down where you need them to be, go to monthly, weekly to make sure they're embracing the concepts. Once you feel that they've embraced the concepts, then take it to the once a month level. And what this is it's having kind of a scoreboard meeting with them when you sit down, you know, and just asking the questions. Who do you have in the pipeline? Who's your COIs? Have you done any plans? How are we doing and executing on our strategy? You know, how's client acquisition going? Oh, you're struggling with that. Let's dig down. Let's find out why. What's going on? Are you making the calls? Are you setting up appointments with agendas? Are you following up with an executive summary? You got to go through that checklist. Okay. And pretty soon the behavior starts to change. Okay. Cause you've already altered your behavior. Now you've got to help your teammates alter their behavior. Okay. Big picture, delegation of duties and responsibilities. You know, have you given out responsibilities, for certain individuals? Maybe, you know, the top folks are going to mentor, in addition to you, some of the other folks. And what does that look like? What does that mean? You know, in terms of, you know, the, your mentoring program of some of the new people. Okay. And then, you know, the pandemic, yeah, that's part of the excuse, but you know, I tell you, when I had a client in the middle of a pandemic add, $500 million or 500,000 in new business during a pandemic, that was a wake up call that the people are home. You know, you can get them. You know, they're reachable. And, you know, so there's business to be gotten. So don't let them fall into the excuse trap that, oh, well, because of the pandemic, you know, I can't get to people. And, they've got to begin to develop a referral based business. Okay. Now, having said that, in any questions, I think, you know, that's the pandemic issue, Lenny, that you have to speak. You know, empathize. Yeah, there's a pandemic, but, you know, you can set up Zoom appointments, you know, and talk to people on Zoom. Get personal introductions. Have the introducer introduce a prospective relationship on a Zoom call. Again, performance, inspect what you expect, and I'm glad to hear that you all are doing, you know, so well. Now, here's one of the other things I would say to you is when you're managing a team, you know, a sales force, advisory force, you can call them advisory force because we're in the advisory business. They get hyped up when you institute, or campaign something. They're up for 30 days. Then it starts to decline in the 60th day. And by the 90th day, they've forgotten all about it. So the idea is, how do we keep these people stimulated with things? Topics for discussion, guest speakers, you know, bringing in analysts, whatever, getting people excited about, yeah, look, Mr. Jones, the reason I'm calling, we just, you know, had a conference call with one of our analysts on the outlook for the economy, and we're currently recommending from an asset allocation standpoint that our clients continue to be exposed to equities, but begin to add just a tad bit of capital to the fixed income markets. I wanted to call you, make you aware of this, and find out how you feel about it. Okay? Or we just heard from our analysts, interest rates are at an all-time low. We added, you know, 8.4 million, you know, new jobs, over the previous month. So the economy is, getting back on track. We expect things to heat up. Now's the time to look at your mortgage and determine whether or not we should look at some type of refinance. And here are some of the programs we have available. Oh, So get them into something that gets them excited about getting on the phone. Or the mortality tables have changed. You can literally add to your insurance and maybe not incur any additional costs or proof of insurability. I want to talk to you about that. Okay? So give them some taglines, some things to work with that suits where we are in our economy right now. That's what I mean by campaigning an idea. That gets back to that 24-month agenda. Remember? Talked about that? So, you know, make sure you've got an agenda that's reflective of what's going on today. We just read an article in the Wall Street Journal, pivot. You know, employment figures are out. Interest rates are down. Pivot on something that gives them something to kind of think about. Okay. And you do that with clients as well.
Gotcha.
Okay. Any questions on that so far? Give me some feedback on your thinking.
No, I, you know, obviously I think it's good to get them excited. You know, campaigns just, we're not able to do many of them now. There's all these new laws and best interest and, you know, they've kind of dwindled those. So, but I think coming up with the subject is definitely a good thing. And
educational campaigns.
There you go. Yep. Would be okay. Something that would be very exciting. So.
Okay. So that's something to try. One of the things I want to do, and let me see if I've got this thing, I'm going to go on to shared screen for a minute. One of the things I want you all to consider now is your business plan for your particular business and what your vision is, what your mission is, what the action plan looks like. What are the key strategic initiatives? And over the next, between now and the next call, I'd like you to put together your business plan and maybe develop 7 to 8 slides to articulate your direction, your strategic direction. Okay. So let's go back and eyeball the plan for a moment, the template. And I'm going to put it on screen share. Okay, so over here, cover letter, and you've seen this before. I think I've shared it with you. It's got the introduction, your team's vision statement, purpose statement, your value proposition, the 30-second elevator pitch, the 5-star model analysis, okay? All of this is your table of contents on the plan. Now, you don't have to use this exact format, but it's just a template. That's all it is. And you can, you know, change it around, make it suitable to your business. But at a minimum, we should have some of these elements. What's the vision? Now, a vision is the message. It ignites what your team is working toward. It's the dream. It's the intent. We're not there yet, but this is where we're trying to go. So just remember that when you shape your vision. We're not there yet, but this is where we're headed. Okay? So we desire to be a preeminent financial advisor team in our market that provides a holistic approach to our clients and offer more than a commodity client experience. Okay? So maybe you're not there, quite there where you want to be, but that's an example. Any questions on vision?
No, my only question would be, you know, through the statement, you know, when you were, let's say, like Merrill Lynch,
yeah.
Did each branch of yours have their own, or were you utilizing Merrill Lynch's overall vision?
Well, what I did is I had my own vision for the branch.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, I wanted to be the preeminent financial advisory firm in our market. Okay. And people didn't like believe it at first. Okay. We're like doing 50 million in business. There's empty desks. Morale was low. So I had to get them energized. I had to get them to believe in something. And I asked them the question. I says, well, look, we've got a lot of offices in our market. We got, you know, Cherry Hill. We've got Princeton, Morristown. Newark, and Morristown's like the flagship. I says, how come we're not the flagship office? And I threw out that question and they started looking at themselves and they didn't really know. And I says, from now on, from this day forward, we're going to be the flagship office in this state.
We think flagship in Boca, just so you know, out of South Florida.
Uh-huh. Cool. So, you know, in 3 years, they went to 135 FAs and 100 million in revenue. So, you know, you got to paint that thing. And I created an imaginary enemy. Morristown. We love those guys. But we're better. And so that's kind of what we did. And I keep them posted on how we were gaining. And then we overtook them.
Real quick, Chris, this document not only is for us, obviously the business plan, but, you know, do we share it with the team or just certain statements with the team?
Well, I think you share it with the team so that the team knows what we're trying to accomplish and that you get everybody's buy-in. I did that. I created a plan and rolled it out in PowerPoint format and I shared it with everybody. And I said, I would call them out. I'd say, Chuck, I need your help on this. Bill, I need your help on helping us move forward on this. This is our overall plan. What does that mean to them? You know, and Chuck, you got that wedding coming up for your daughter in a year, and we want to be able to pay for it. Bill, you got that dream of that vacation home. Mary, you want a 37-foot Sea Ray. I do that stuff individually. But, you know, they've got to have a dream. See, people just don't show up to work just to pay the bills. They got to have some dreams. And when they don't have dreams, you've got to paint the picture. You've got to help them dream of the possibilities that are there.
So Curtis, I think we do a good job meeting with people individually and in the small settings. The group as a whole, we do a really poor job.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think we haven't found it to be, fortunately, we can't get a large group together because of the pandemic. And sometimes when we do the Teams meetings, people, you know, they're all over the place when you have 30, 40 people on a Teams call or Zoom, you know, it doesn't seem like people.
Segment them.
Okay.
Senior guys that are doing really well, they're not going to think you're talking to them. You know, that's for, you know, the length of service LOS, 1 to 4. So they're not really paying attention. So you might have three segments that you carved out. That one segment that, and I'll just use some numbers, that's at like a million, and you're trying to get them to 1.5 to 2 million. You got that other segment that's at 5, and you're trying to get them to 750. You got the startups that you're trying to get to 250. So break them down into segments and run your Zooms, you know, in a segmentation fashion. Okay. And then bring in your superstars, to speak with, these groups periodically. And if you don't have a superstar handy, import one in from Connecticut or New York or New Jersey. Look, you know, these folks can't debate. Well, you don't understand Florida. Look, I-95 down to your side of that state, there half of them are, well, I'm not even going to say half. Most of them are from New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, you know, the whole I-95 corridor. Okay. So import the experts. You know, anybody's an expert that's 100 miles away. And yep. Create an agenda, have them address your people, get them fired up. This is what it's looked like. Just like you had that, female on the call the other day articulating what they're doing with their team. Okay. Do that on a subject matter. So vision, your team's purpose statement. Interrupt me at any time like you just did. Okay. This is getting everybody on the same page, giving them direction and clarity. It should describe why and what you do as a team and an established congruency on the team. Nobody debates what Nike does in terms of their purpose. Bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. Or Starbucks to inspire and nurture the human spirit. One person, one cup, one neighborhood at a time. So write your aspirational and unifying team purpose statement. Team's value prop. Okay. Clear statement of the results a customer gets from using your products or services. Okay. What do they get? Well, we're a financial resource. We give you confidence. We help you make informed decisions. We make your value. Make sure that your value prop emotionally connects with your clients. Okay. We want you to have a stress-free life. We want you to be happy. We want you to be organized knowing that certain things have been taken care of. That's what people want. Elevator pitch. Okay. What's an elevator pitch? The time it takes you to get from the first floor to the 10th floor, you're articulating what it is that you do. Don't have anybody saying, I'm an advisor with the Equitable Group. That doesn't tell anybody anything. Or I'm a financial advisor with Merrill Lynch or UBS. Okay. You talk about what you offer or specialize in. You know, And it should share some of the key benefits. What I do in my practice is I manage money to help people feel secure and make them feel good. Okay? And then I have an example there. Help you build, manage, and preserve wealth. Okay? Now you're going to take that 5-star model that we always talk about, which is the delegated duties and responsibilities, planning, how do a self-evaluation, On a scale of 1 to 5, how good are you? What do you need to improve? Do you need to bring in a planning expert? Is anybody on your team a CFP? Plan implementation, where you're sitting down and you're looking at a case objectively, maybe in a team-based format, on what we're going to do with this client. Where are the gaps? So that's implementation. Marketing. This is the client acquisition strategies. Using VIPSA, 90-day free look, getting 6 COIs. Brand and service. The person that's responsible for that speaks to that. You know, how are we doing on executing 12-4-2? Okay, are we getting our appointments scheduled? Are agendas going out on time? Are the executive summaries being followed through? Do we have the monthly agendas? Leadership. Okay. You're responsible for developing confidence in your people, their skills, their knowledge. So you're always thinking about their gaps and what they might be missing. Okay. And you're going to schedule appropriate agendas for that purpose. You know, the needs of the people who were trying to go from 0 to 250 were different from the folks trying to get to a half a mil and different from the ones trying to get to 750. A lot of organizations I speak to ignore the high performers. They're there to, hey, everything okay? Yeah, everything's good. Okay, good. They don't help the high performers get to another level. Okay. Bill, you're doing great. I want you to meet with, look, I'm number one in my environment. I'm number one in Florida, but you're not number one in the universe and we got to get you there. So. You know, it's that type of thing. Action plan. Don't have 50 different initiatives. Nail this down to 4 or 5 key things that you want to work on. With tasks, timing, and responsibility. So I have some initiatives like plan implementation. We got to hire an additional advisor. We got to source candidates. Who's responsible? Got to do an interoffice search. Put the dates down. How are we going to onboard candidates? What's our process? How do we do it here in South Florida? Goal setting. What are your goals? What are the metrics that you're going to measure? For revenue growth, asset growth. And you know, you're telling me some off the charts things that are already happening. That's because you're thinking about these things now. You know, you have clear metrics, delegated responsibilities. Okay. And then you review the action strategy and identify goals for client acquisition. You know, do you have a niche market? You know, what do your COIs look like? Are you meeting with them? Okay. I was talking to an individual the other day. He says, well, acquisition's going okay. I says, when was the last time you met with a COI, a center of influence? Well, I says, when they give you a referral, a major referral that meets your target, what do? I mean, is there a lunch? Is there a leather-bound notebook? What do you do? Do you meet with them each month and tell them, look, I really appreciate you giving us John Jones. He's turned out to be a wonderful client. That's exactly the type of client I'm looking for. And I, I appreciate your continued support of our business. Thank you. And so this lunch, or dinner is just for me to say thank you for everything that you're doing for us right now. Okay. So, so these are some of the things that you do. And you got that VIPSA script as well. Now, I don't want you to work everything, but pick out three acquisition strategies that you're going to excel at. Okay. And now there's some other team-based goals that you need to, you know, put down there. Like, we got to improve our operations or otherwise we're going to bury ourselves. Or, you know, we need some additional training in this area and we're going to need some firm resources in order to do it. What are the other additional goals? We've identified these three people that need to get their CFPs and we're going to enroll them in Dalton. Okay. Okay. Then your service, and product agenda, you know, laying that out. What's it look like? And who's the responsible team member? Make these people part of the culture. Full year outlook, annuity reviews, IRA contribution, Roth, tax questions, long-term care in May, mid-year outlook in June. You know, lay out, you know, an agenda that makes sense. That's a blank template. And then look at your budget. What are you going to spend on training, staff retention, hiring additional support, developing your brand? Like, I have a guy who is a, kind of an expert in showing you how to leverage LinkedIn. He's really good. You should have a consultation with him. It's not going to cost you anything. But do you want to budget him in to help you and help your advisors leverage LinkedIn as a potential acquisition strategy? Okay. That's your budget. So then I have a checklist here, which is just making sure that all these components are in your plan. And then I have a forecast analysis that I'm happy to take you through. So you're forecasting future growth. Okay. Any questions on anything that I've covered here?
No, I think it's a good template and, you know, there's still a lot of things we need to improve upon. So.
Well, that's, you know, it takes time for all of this. We haven't even been working together for a year yet. You know, think about that. Look at you all have come a long way. So kudos to you. Really kudos to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions, Mario? Or comments?
No, I think. Okay.
We lost you, Mario. Can't hear you.
Can you hear me
now? You're on my Wi-Fi, Mario.
No, somebody was calling them. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. No, I think that budget sheet will actually help us and the goal sheet, because we have our own goals, but I think we need to put it out there too, right? And say, hey, if we can get the team excited, like you're saying, just maybe we throw up $100 million number for AUM for the year and say, hey, let's have, you know, every time somebody, does a case, let's throw it up on the board.
Right.
Or whatever it is. So.
Yep.
Yeah. What does it mean if you all achieve the goal? One of the things we did is, we threw a party. Or I had, I had one of our providers, annuity providers, get a bus and take the whole shooting match to a Yankees game. There was beer, hot dogs, and everything else on the bus. And, and it wasn't driven toward any particular campaign. You know, it was the idea that when the office succeeded, everybody succeeded. Okay. You guys have, and this is going to get better. You got the Marlins and you got, you know, the Dolphins and, you know, I don't know. You have, is there a hockey team down there yet?
The Panthers.
Panthers. Okay. So you got hockey.
We got the Heat, Miami Heat.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, but that's probably a hard ticket. You probably have to segment that one out, but
yeah, that one might be the Marlins is basically a free ticket. So
yeah. Yeah. So you do something that builds camaraderie and you
know, they might pay us to come.
They might pay you to come.
Not sure.
And make an arrangement to meet some of those guys, whatever, you know?
Yep. Eventually the Panthers would be a good one. I think that's always fun doing the Panthers.
It's a lot of fun. Hockey games are a good time for people.
And where it's located is pretty centralized to where all our districts are. So that's a good idea. As, you know, we're able to do that. So,
you know, I went to my first hockey game in Detroit, Michigan, and it was the Detroit Red Wings. And, you know, imagine me taking these suits to, in the heart of Detroit to this Budweiser crowd, you know, that are in there cursing and yelling and screaming. I mean, hockey's like, it's a crazed atmosphere there. I was like totally, totally shocked. As the first hockey game I ever went to. So, you know, do things that people will remember.
And, Curtis,
yeah.
We actually do have an event coming up where we're doing food trucks at a park in May. Okay. So I think that's something to, you know, help, you know, bring the team together. So,
you know, look, we did a Habitat to Humanity. We, you know, all of these things, sometimes it's community based that help drive your culture. Yep. So, you know, ask your people, you know, what they would want. You'll get a social person in there to do some things. I tell you, another one that was really big for us was Cinco de Mayo. You know, this group, all they needed was some excuse to have a party anyway. Mm. But we did it. One time we had a bowling night and the support staff were in charge of drafting people for their teams. So I know we got a pandemic. We can't do a lot of this stuff, but, things are
Curtis, just out of curiosity. Did you ever invite spouses or anybody else or was it always just your team?
Mostly it was the team, but like one thing I did do is I divided up, the office into two baseball teams and the spouses were invited. One time I had a magical mystery tour and the spouses were invited. I gave them the range of time that they needed to be available. And you know what I did? I had a bus take them to, Orlando to Disney World and they each ate at, a different country, you know, so like Italy or whatever. And then we all came back together for, dessert. And fireworks. That was my magical mystery tour, I called it.
Gotcha. Awesome. That could be a good idea too. Maybe getting like a social director. Before it was Mario's wife. She actually works with us, but you know, with two kids, that's a little hard for her. So we need to find somebody new for that. So that's a good idea.
Good point. I mean, but Mario's wife is going to be tough to top. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah. Get a babysitter. Get a babysitter.
That's what I'm talking about. It's cheaper to hire a babysitter, Lenny. We should pay for the babysitter for Mario and Lenny so that, I mean, for Mario and Lenny, yeah, for you two, but for Danielle. And then she can go back to our social director.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah. So now what we're talking about now are the cultural things that you do. Those are the ties that bind people to your organization. It's the culture, you know. Nobody's ever going to want to leave a culture like that. We're having too much fun. We love what we do. We got great leadership. No way am I leaving this. Okay.
And I noticed that people will stay for culture even if they're not making the money they want to. You know, so that is a big thing.
Culture is a big thing. I had like zero turnover. And then because I, everybody I hired, I put directly onto a team. I had very little turnover among, new hires.
I would say a lot of our, I've always said a lot of our business, some of the most successful people that we've had on our teams over the years are people that just didn't quit, right? Early on. You know, that's a lot of it is, you know, so if the culture keeps them here, they may end up just succeeding by being here long enough.
Yeah. Being in an environment, you know, it's like, you get drafted into the NBA and, you go to the Lakers, I mean, you gotta step up your game. I mean, you know, if you wanna play, you gotta step it up. So you want that, create that kind of culture.
I'm a Boston guy. That's kind of like a step down for me though. Lakers guy. So just.
I hear you. That's a rivalry for sure. You know.
Mike, did you see the ex-Boston player that schooled the high school kid?
No.
He's like in his like late 40s and some high school kid challenged him, was like, you know, you're no good. And he just like absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's kind of like when you get a team like Abilene, you know, get into the Sweet 16. I mean,
yeah.
Who's Abilene? Where are they coming from? But, you know, for March Madness, you know, they used to hold March Madness down in St. Petersburg, Florida. Used to be a fun time.
So Chris, I think for us too, to get the culture better, we need to get people profitable quicker.
Right.
Right. And that's,
yeah, I mean, people's survival is optimal and, sometimes they just don't know the level of activity that they need to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I thought if I had two appointments a week that I was doing good. And you gotta translate that, and what that means in results. You know, if you have, six or seven appointments a week, and you close 50%, what does that do to your business? Okay. So you got to explain it to them and what that means. You got to translate it. So, that's what you do. So
when you took somebody and you threw them on a team, right?
Right.
Initially, what was their role? How do you structure that?
Okay. So, one of the things that we did is we had, they had goals. They attended a weekly, professional development meeting where they had to go in and talk about, their prospects, what they had in the pipeline. And then we had, you know, different, speakers come in for them, and their role on the team, was to identify prospects. And if they got a hot lead, the senior person would go out on the appointment or help them with that appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they closed the business, then he got a percentage of it.
Yeah. So like, let's say Lenny and Mike are, you know, producing and they're experienced, and I join, I'm putting them on every piece of my business, and then they're throwing me on a piece of the revenue for being part of the team, or how does that work?
Yeah, you don't give them, you don't give them all your business, because they're on your team, you know, but what you're going to try to do is you're going to try to, you know, you're already paying them. So that's one means of support. You got to get them to a point where they're at least breaking even. And then what you do is you give them some leads. And if they can demonstrate that they can really follow up, follow through with the leads, and if you have a client to distribute, then you distribute a client that they can get some revenue from. But you dribble. You don't just do it wholesale.
Got it. Yeah, it's just the hard part with us is because we can't really give somebody a salary. It's that structure.
Yeah. So you have to, you have to reward them with, leads and potential, clients.
All right. So even if, like, let's say we wanted to give somebody a salary, we'd say, hey, we're generating $300,000 in revenue. You know, we'll throw you on for 10%. You'll have a 30,000 base and then go from there, something like that.
Right. And if they're really a contributor, kick them up 2%. Kick them up 3%. Okay? But they got to be a contributor. They got to earn that. Okay?
Perfect.
All right. That kind of concluded the things that I wanted to talk about. Anything else that you all want to talk about? You're doing well. Keep it up. Intensity.
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, you know, going through that business plan, there's a lot of stuff that we do partially.
Sure.
It's just, you know, it's kind of just improving on the things that we're not doing as well here. So
yeah,
just refining a lot of it.
Refining, looking at the plan. When you have a game board monthly, you're going to look at your plan on a monthly basis. And see, hey, how are we doing versus the plan? Cause look, all of a sudden we look at, March, it's April already, and, 3/12 of the year are gone. And so if you're not monitoring this stuff weekly with your scoreboard meetings, monthly overall, it can get away from you very, very quickly. And you end up not meeting the targets that you want. Firm has the targets that they want, but I want you to have the targets that you want. Okay.
So no, that's very helpful. And, you know, I think, you know, as always, it's great getting together and touching base with you just to, you know, work out our kinks and improve.
Yeah. Okay. Then, on our next call, be prepared to share elements of your plan with me. Okay. As almost as if we're having a conversation about it. Okay. So you got a month.
Thanks, Curtis.
All righty. Awesome. Thank you.
Have a great holiday, buddy.
You do the same. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.